Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, everybody. Good afternoon and welcome aboard, one and all. Boys and girls, children of all ages. Yes, we are back. And, well, I would like to say better than ever. But you know what happens at this time of the year? A, everybody gets sick, and B, nobody can clear it. Instead of hacking and barking all over AMAC and everyone that I come in contact with, as you can hear, I am still dealing with this nonsense that just will not go away and will not clear. And I have no idea when it's going to be over. No idea. There are times, man, where you feel like, all right, you know, I can go back to work. I can go work out. I can go to the gym. I can go to there. I can do this. And then there are times where literally you feel like you're going to cough up your chest, your esophagus, your stomach, and everything, and every body part that could come loosely available. So I have no idea when this is going to be done. And, the fear, that I have moving forward is this ain't the only time that I'm going to have to deal with this, this winter, right? Usually when it starts this early and it's this persistent and it doesn't go away, it means, oh crap, it's coming. I had one of these a couple of years ago where I was just sick like three or four times and I was just limping through almost every show, you know, the entire winter and into spring. And it just never goes away. And, you know, at some point you got to like keep going with life. You just can't shut down. You just can't shut down and stop doing everything that you do. Right. So I'm lucky and fortunate that I have the ability to kind of work from home. And again, it does save me a little bit. I won't lie, but it also is kept with my coworkers and my colleagues in mind. I don't want to get them sick because you know who can't work from home? AMAC. I can. He can't. So if I get AMAC sick, or on Sunday night, if I would have gone to the Commanders game and gone in the locker room and hacked all over the offensive line while I was talking to them, how fair, how cool, how stupid, how selfish is that? Right? Or in the press box, all over the rest of the media. Now, maybe some of you don't care about the rest of the media, but, you know, the point being is they're my colleagues, they're my friends, and it's not fair to them, right? So you're like, God, when will this go away? I also like, you know, from time to time, not having to commute 3 hours a day. That's an unintended benefit to this. I'm not going to lie. But I'd rather be commuting and seeing AMAC face to face and seeing everybody face to face and being able to do the show and activate the phone lines and all that stuff that we do, in person rather than hacking up half a lung. That being said, we'll persevere. We'll get through this. And today, Won't be able to go to the company holiday party tonight, which sucks. I always look forward to that. Get to see some of the colleagues and friends that I don't get to see often. Usually Kevin Sheehan is there. I don't know if he's planning on going this year, but I won't be able to attend. Again, just not fair, obviously, to anybody trying to have a good time. So we'll be missing out on that, which is never fun. But you know what is fun? You know what was fun? Is last night, late night, the Capitals get a fifth straight win, and this time in Hollywood against the Los Angeles Kings. A good defensive team with Darcy Kemper reborn over the last 2 years in La La Land. The Capitals jump out early on a Tom Wilson goal. The power play, which has kind of been not so good, the power play, right? Then they withstand a two-on-one in which the Kings tie it up. And then after a boy passes out, because I was watching the game from bed on my phone on the Monumental app, Anthony Beauvillier connects on a three-on-one break. Just great passing. Turning great defense to offense, block shot in the defensive zone. That springs the rush. Bing, bang, boom, boom, boom. Between McMichael, Ovechkin, and then finally Beauvillier crashing into the net for a sixth goal and a 2-1 third period lead for the Caps. And then they would add to it on the empty netter by Alexei Protas. Goal number 8 on the year. And it would be 3-1. And that's the final score as the Capitals win 5. That's right. Not 1, not 2, not 3, not 4, but 5 in a row and head to San Jose tonight. To take on Caleb, not Caleb. Oh, my goodness. I wrote his name down and everything, so I wouldn't forget how to say his name. Macklin Celebrini. Caleb. I'm thinking Caleb Williams. Macklin Celebrini and the San Jose Sharks tonight. We will get there. More importantly, the Capitals taking a very good defensive team and getting a good road win after another good road win on Sunday, because the Islanders have been playing really well as well, and they dominated them. I think that's 7-2 in terms of goal differential and outage over the last two road games and two road wins for wins number 4 and 5 of this streak. And look, listen, it's the regular season. It's early December. Nobody should think anything of anything but this is the regular season, and what happens now doesn't really matter much when it gets to April and hopefully on to May. But what you want to do is build. What you want to do is stack. What you want to do is build that resiliency and that Teflon-ness, if you will, where bad performances, bad losses, bad streaks, bad vibes, whatever, don't really stick to you. They used to, when I was a kid growing up, the world famous and reputed mobster John Gotti, right? They used to call him the Teflon Don because no charges would stick to him. No matter how many charges they had, no matter how the authorities thought they had him finally, they used to call him the Teflon Don because he'd get off. Now, you could question how he'd get off, but he got off, right? And this is not the same thing as hockey or one individual, but I guess what I'm trying to get at is sometimes in the long course of a regular season, you're going to develop some bad habits. You're going to have some bad moments. You're going to have some bad streaks. And you've got to find a way to build a resistance to essentially surround yourself in Teflon. So it doesn't stick to you. So it doesn't eat away at you. So it doesn't break you down. So it doesn't continue. And that's what I think this Capitals team has been pretty darn good at over the last month and change. And if you look at it, right, after kind of a rough start, the Capitals have bounced back here and have been damn good for the last month and a half. Damn good. You know, you go on the road, and we'll see what happens tonight, obviously. And nobody should necessarily expect them not to lose. They'll probably lose tonight. Who knows? San Jose's got a lot of juice, right? But with Tom Wilson playing the way he is, with Logan Thompson playing the way he has, and Logan Thompson won't play tonight. It'll be Charlie Lindgren. So who knows? With sort of playing the way he, and this is without Pierre-Luc Dubois for the last several weeks, and this is without Nick Dowd for the last week and a half. Two of their top centers, and certainly two of their top defensive centers. So I really like what I've seen out of the Caps. Ryan Leonard has been just getting better and better and better. I'm not quite sure. Like last night, Joe B. And Locker made a point that he was really improving physically in his style of play. And maybe I missed something, and they're around the team every day. They're at practice. They're talking to coaches. So I guess I missed something, but it's interesting. It was interesting to hear that comment because I thought that was the one thing that stood out about Ryan Leonard in his debut and his usage through the playoffs last year was his chippiness, was his physicality. For a smaller guy, he is, and I compared him in some ways to TJ Oshie, right? Not afraid to stick his nose in, not afraid to go into the corner, not afraid to drop the shoulder, not afraid to mix it up a little bit, right? And I'm not saying that he has the offensive same skill as TJ Oshie at their highest points. Maybe he'll get there. But that was one thing that I was interested slash surprised to hear. Out of Locker and Joe B. I think it was more Locker than Joe B, but maybe it was both. I can't remember. Talking about like how the coaches are happy with Ryan Leonard's physical progress. And I thought that was something that really jumped out at me during last spring's playoff run and late in the regular season was Ryan Leonard was more physical, more chippy than I thought he would be. And I thought that was kind of his calling card. So, maybe he had a little drop off that I wasn't paying attention to or whatever, or I didn't pick up on or didn't notice. Again, those guys are with the team every day. So I'm not saying that they're wrong. I'm just saying I was a little surprised, to hear that. But either way, the Capitals with a big road win. We'll see what they do tonight, in San Jose as they get back at it and right back on the bike before finishing up, this road trip coming up, in a couple of days. In San Jose, excuse me. So we will see how that all works out. Now, that being said, the Wizards, not so great of a road performance last night in Philadelphia. I watched a bunch of this game, not all of it, but I don't know what you would necessarily expect out of a young team like the Wizards. On the back end of back-to-back nights after such a big win over Milwaukee on Monday night at home. So I didn't go into last night, sorry, with any expectation that they were going to win in Philadelphia, even though Philadelphia, you know, they're okay. I mean, Tyrese Maxey's obviously a great player. Embiid, when he's healthy, which he's never healthy, is a great player. I got it. But, I mean, the Sixers are never healthy, right? Yet, the Wizards lost by 20 last night, and it felt like at times they played well, right? And I know it's easy to say that they outscored the Sixers by 5 in the fourth quarter; otherwise, it would have been worse. And again, they still lost. Actually, it was by 19. 19, not 20. But at times, it felt like they were kind of there and giving themselves a puncher's chance. There was one time, I want to say it was early third quarter, where they're only down by a couple. And then the doors just caved in. Just caved in and blew apart. And you saw the depth difference. You saw the experience. And make no mistake about it. Again, Philadelphia is a young team too. And by the way, not that we should be surprised, but VJ Edgecko, he only had 9 points last night, but every time you see that dude, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, couple steals, couple of blocks, every time you see that dude, you're like, wow, holy mother of mercy, right? And I know nothing about the NBA compared to some of you. Every time I see VJ Edgecko, I'm like, whoa, Now, that's the kind of player that you're kind of hoping, like a Bilal Coulibaly, will turn out to be. Like, that's the kind of player with that kind of athletic ability, that kind of above-the-rim play, that kind of all-around game. And, again, it's early and he's playing with a better team. I got it. I understand that. But that's the kind of game, that's the kind of style that you're hoping that he plays. Now, last night you lose to the Sixers, right? Again, second night, back-to-back. And they don't have, even though they're at home, they don't have Joel Embiid, right? So you say, well, wait a second. There's nothing good that can be taken out of that loss. What I could take out of that loss is, again, I think it was early third quarter. They were only down by a couple, and then they had a steal and a fast break, and the Sixers dunked it, and it kind of unraveled from there. So there was a period of time where I think they were down 12-13 at the half. There was a period of time where they cut it to low single digits. I want to say it was like 3 points, somewhere in that range. I don't have an exact. I can double check. But that's, I was somewhat encouraged by that. Somewhat encouraged by that. You need more. You need more out of all sorts of guys, right? McCollum was great on Monday night. Only had 10 points, shot 5 of 14 last night. Not good enough. You need more. Cam Whitmore, 2 of 11 from the field. Obviously, you need more out of Cam Whitmore. You can't have that. And a minus 18 overall. Defensively, they were not good enough. Offensively, they shot 40% after shooting, I think, 54% from the field on Monday. They didn't hit threes, only 25% there. They missed a bunch of free throws. You know who was semi-impressive last night? The guy that I thought was going to be the unheralded kind of pick of the two in the first round, Will Riley. Will Riley was 5 of 6 last night from the floor. 4 rebounds overall. Couple on the offensive glass. And had a steal. So Will Riley, who's kind of bounced in and around, back, Capital City go-go, whatnot, was impressive. They need more out of Bob Carrington. Last night, he was 3 of 12. I mentioned Whitmore, 2 of 11. Keyshawn George was 3 of 11. C.J. McCollum was 5 of 14. You know, if they shoot the ball even halfway decent last night, that's a single-digit point loss. Again, it's not what you're shooting for, but what you're trying to accomplish during this miserable, miserable three-plus-year run is to lose, if that's what you all want, but to lose super competitively. And last night was a night that at times they were competitive, but far too often they were just not good enough on either end. 121-102, the loss for the Washington Wizards. All right, when we return, we will get to a bunch of Commanders things and as well the Hard Knocks debut. Plus, I want to get in a bunch of college football because Penn State is kind of like, oh, what do we do now? What do we do now? And some major fallout, as you would predict, down at Ole Miss for old Lane Kiffin. So we will cover all of that later on in the show. Some Commander stuff next. They're back on the practice field. Hard Knocks debuted last night. They've got the Minnesota Vikings up. We'll check in on them shortly. Right here on the Team 980, the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. Come and join us.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, since we left you yesterday afternoon, we found out that the Commanders were going to play at 5 o'clock on Saturday, December 20th. Against the Philadelphia Eagles in the first of the two regular season matchups. And that makes sense because Packers-Bears, the second meeting of that rivalry, is going to be the Saturday night game at about 8:20. So they'll go one right into another with very little gap in between. So the Eagles and Commanders will be at 5 o'clock at Northwest Stadium on that Saturday, which is way, 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 way better for certainly for me, and I presume for you to get out of there, you know, at 8:30 after a game, me a little bit later than that, as opposed to 12:30 or 1 o'clock or whatever in the morning. Way better. So that was a little bit of news right after we got off the air yesterday. I don't know how important it is, but it is what it is. The Commanders are on the practice schedule. I'm not seeing any early reports, but Jaden Daniels was expected to get a bunch of work. It sounded like he would get at least like split one team reps, but he has not been cleared for contact yet. According to Dan Quinn, who spoke at about 12:30, he has not been cleared for contact yet. Now, you might say, well, that means he's not going to play. And I would say right now there's probably no better than a 50-50 chance that he's going to play, right? And I know that's straddling the fence, but it's the best I can do. I can't make stuff up that I don't know, okay? And I truly don't know if they know right now. Because Dan Quinn said the other day, hey, you know, we've got to test him and clear him if and when we do based on functionality, not based on, hey, we're going to roll him out there and see if he can take a shot to the elbow. That's not how we can do this. That's not how we're going to do this. It's not how any team would do this. It is different than a leg injury where you can say, hey, Jaden, we need you to run straight line. We need you to cut. We need you to do this. We need you to move around the pocket. And we can evaluate whether a hamstring or a quad or a knee or an ankle or a foot or whatever is hampering you. They can't really do that with the elbow. So my guess is, you know, again, as I said yesterday, Thursday night, Friday morning, whatever, some physical trainer as part of their staff, maybe more, is going to basically do range of motion exercises, testing, stretching, what have you, to see if Jaden Daniels can have the range of motion and the freedom and the movement that he needs. And whatever that testing and whatever that expertise tells them, cleared or not cleared for potential contact. And then we'll find out whether he'll play or not play when they ultimately leak it to Ian Rappaport or Jeremy Fowler on Thursday night or Friday morning. We'll find out. Right now, we don't know. Right now, the expectation is that he'll get work. And again, he has not been cleared for contact, but that's not as big of a deal during practice. But it is a big deal for the game. You can't play him in the game if he hasn't been cleared for contact. And again, because they have to guess on contact, it's not like some full fire or full sure thing. It's kind of abstractly guessing. But in the meantime, he's going to get work. right? And maybe it'll be a split of one team reps. Maybe it will not be that. And we'll have a better idea maybe as early as tomorrow. Marcus Mariota is expected to meet with the media after practice. That's usually the starting quarterback spot, right? So I understand what you would logically say. Well, it looks like Marcus Mariota is probably going to play because he's meeting with the media. Fair. That's probably the case. I would lean towards that. The other thing I would say is to put Jaden up there and to have him answer 12 different questions about range of motion and what he thinks he can handle and what he thinks he can do is not really conducive to Jaden. And quite honestly, it's not conducive to the media either, because Jaden's not going to be able to tell you, hey, man, I'm going to be cleared for contact. I'm fine. Of course he's going to tell you, I want to play, and I just need to be cleared. I have no doubt about that. But the media is going to be looking for more than that, number one. And number two, even though they have a right to look for more than that, Jaden has a right to kind of be as tight-lipped as possible, right? Whether it's for a competitive advantage or whether it's just because he doesn't want to speak out of turn, because he doesn't know. And they might not know, right? Like when Cliff Kingsbury talks tomorrow, he probably has a good idea whether Jaden is going to play or not, but he doesn't know for sure in all likelihood. So he's going to have to kind of dance around a bunch of questions. They don't want Jaden up there for 10 minutes answering 12, 13, 14 questions about something that, quite honestly, is abstract and is not really easy to answer. And it's not fair to the kid to put him up in that spot. They're not trying to hide anything. They're not trying to, I guess, limit his exposure. It's just a really hard thing to explain. Again, I can tell you this. If it was a leg injury, it's easier to evaluate. Because it's the non-throwing elbow, it's a lot harder to get a handle on this. It's a lot harder to evaluate. And if they feel like he would benefit from one more week, I'm totally fine with that. I've always wanted them to be sure, or as sure as you can be. I've always wanted him to come back, but I'm okay waiting for the Giants if that's what they feel is right. And ultimately, they make the decision because they're professionals. I'm just guessing. You're just hoping. They are professionals. Doesn't mean they're perfect. Doesn't mean they're not going to screw up. Doesn't mean he is not going to feel something. Doesn't mean he's going to be great. Doesn't mean there's no risk. It just means they're professionals and we're guessing and hoping. All right. We'll get to the calls in just a wee little bit. Just hang on. I just wanted to get through that on Jaden Daniels first. I have a bunch of other Commanders things, including my thoughts on Hard Knocks. For those of you that saw debut episode number one of Hard Knocks inside the NFC East, we'll tackle that next after a trending alert right here, right now, on the Team 980, the Odyssey app, iHeart Radio, and TuneIn. All right, let's get it going. Again, the Commanders on the practice field as they get ready for the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday afternoon in Minneapolis. Now, the Cleveland Browns have actually opened up the 21-day practice window for, surprise, surprise, veteran quarterback Deshaun Watson, who has had all sorts of injury issues since signing that massive deal several years ago. Doesn't mean he's going to return to play, but they are opening the 21-day practice window for Deshaun Watson. Meanwhile, Mike Tomlin, facing all sorts of criticism, all sorts of angst from the Pittsburgh Steelers fan base, as veteran Steeler legends have been calling for, perhaps, Mike Tomlin's removal. Ben Roethlisberger said, hey, you know that Penn State job that's even open? Maybe Mike Tomlin would be a good fit down in Happy Valley. Interesting. We'll see what happens with that. Meanwhile, from the NBA, how about this? Chris Paul going to retire at the end of the year. Well, he's not going to do it with the LA Clippers. After signing back with them over the offseason, he was released early this morning. Apparently, him and Ty Lue, the head coach, were not on speaking terms. So he will sign, in all likelihood, with a veteran contender. Back to college football for a moment. Ohio State, why have they been so good at wide receiver? Well, a lot of people think it's because of their wide receivers coach, Brian Hartline. Well, today, all of that faith landing him as the head coach, the new head coach at the University of South Florida, agreeing to a 6-year deal, and that's what's trending.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, last night, in case you missed it, the debut episode of Hard Knocks on HBO inside the NFC East. I watched it. Did not watch it live. I recorded it and watched it probably from about 9:45-ish to about 10:45-ish, so I was a little bit late getting to the Caps last night in Los Angeles, but I did watch the whole episode. It was okay. It was okay. It's all right. I've never been like blown away by HBO's Hard Knocks. I think the thing that has kind of ruined it for me over the years, quite honestly, is the proliferation of behind the scenes footage. You know, every team now has their own department. Every team has, ironically, what the Redskins tried to do way in advance under Larry Michael and with several of my former colleagues and friends, some of whom got caught up in, you know, in some of that stuff. Like, not that they did anything wrong, but were victims of that stuff. You know, where they had their own television and video production unit, and they were trying to capture unique footage and unique proprietary video. That's essentially what HBO's Hard Knocks started doing. But they would go through training camp and they would focus on one team. And there were more stories that could be told to a national audience, and you'd fall in love with fill-in-the-blank player that was featured, you know, a fourth, fifth-round guy, or maybe even an undrafted guy, a try-hard guy that either made the roster. I remember one year with the Lions, I think it was Anzalone, if I'm not mistaken, that, you know, and a couple of years ago with the Bills, Buffalo Joe, who made the roster, was from Buffalo, right, and became kind of a cult hero, if you will. There's always good stuff like that. But by and large, I think the proliferation of teams doing their own video stuff and their own proprietary content has kind of, I don't know, diffused the specialness, if you will, of Hard Knocks over the years for me. I'm not saying that's for everybody. I know people love it, and I know people can't get away with it. But we mentioned the Tavita Pritchard thing yesterday. HBO or the NFL put out like a 2.5-minute video clip on it. The show edited it down to like 20 seconds. right? Because they're trying to focus in this particular part of the series, not on one team. They're trying to focus on four teams. And they went right up until and through the Monday nighter for the Giants in New England. Now, they didn't focus on that a lot. That was at the very end. But they're trying to cover everything. They're trying to cover two Cowboys games. They're trying to cover two Eagles games, one against the Cowboys, so, but two stories or two fallouts, if you will. They're trying to cover the Giants, the Commanders, Broncos Sunday nighter, the buildup to the Commanders, Broncos. You know, they're trying to do all of that and tell some stories and whatnot. So it was fine. Things I liked, okay, were they went along for a ride, presumably from his house, Dan Quinn, in the morning. I guess it was, you know, early morning. That's what it looked like. Maybe it was on the way home from the facility. I'm not sure, one way or the other, where Dan Quinn's driving, and he's just talking, and he's just, you know. I always like stuff like that, right? There was an interaction with Adam Peters on the practice field about getting guys back and how jacked up he was, they were for that. I think the most interesting thing that I took, sorry, was one comment in the post-game locker room after Denver on Sunday night, where Dan Quinn said, "We lost, but we are not lost." And I think that was an important thing to say and note to strike, because I think that's how a lot of people felt, and I wish I had the foresight to say that on Monday. They lost, but it did not feel like you lost. It did not feel like it was a rudderless ship. And I did make that comparison to the Giants yesterday, whereas the Commanders are losing, and they stink, and they're terrible, and it's a bad year. And there's no other way you can color that. But there's the Commanders losing, which is how a lot of other teams used to lose, just because bad breaks, bad luck, bad year, bad this, bad that. And it's just the way it works sometimes. And then there was lost at sea, right? Or just a complete clown show. And that's what the Giants are.
Are you trying to rage bait me?
That's not what the Commanders are.
Are you trying to rage bait me?
AMAC, I am not trying to bait you at all. Certainly not trying to bait you in that way. Not at all.
You think that we're a clown show compared to the Commanders?
Yes. I said that all day yesterday. You don't agree with that sentiment?
I mean, I don't. I guess it all it depends on what you think a clown show is. I mean, for me, I just think before that Patriots game, all of our games have been competitive. We weren't getting belt to you know what.
No. And I understand that. And that's a good point. You're right. They have been competitive in a lot of these games. The Denver loss, heartbreaking. The Detroit loss, heartbreaking. You are absolutely correct. And in some ways, the Commanders were getting absolutely destroyed, right? They lost four games in a row by 20-plus points. The difference that I would say is this. You know, never mind the head coach getting fired, the defensive coordinator getting fired, all of the screw-ups that the Giants general manager Joe Shane had made with Saquon Barkley, Xavier McKinney, so on and so forth, Daniel Jones, blah, 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 all of that, right? But what I felt like happened on Monday night was there's losing, and there's losing to a better team, but then there's a certain clown show loss and feeling that it's worse than losing and just losing. It's not the same as just losing. And what I meant by that was you had the field goal mishap. You had Jackson Dart getting blasted 5 seconds into the game and then getting absolutely destroyed along the sideline and then going, "Guys, I don't know what you're talking about. It's just one play. No big deal here. Nothing to see here." Then you had what happened? Abdul Carter getting benched again for a second time in three games. Yeah. Then you had the Kafka press conference Guys, it was just my decision. 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 With no context, no explanation. Then you had the whole Joe Shane, hey, I'm going to be back. I'm running the coaching search. So I tried to tell you yesterday, and we should point out, sometimes you have other things to do. So maybe you're not dialed into every word that I'm saying.
No, I heard
But we talked about it afterwards, right? Joe Shane was said to be in charge of running the coaching search after Brian Daboll was fired. Mm-hmm. And everybody took that, and I believe others like Adam Schefter and whatnot reported that Joe Shane is staying as general manager.
Yeah.
But I said I've seen that type of announcement, that type of declaration 10 times at least over many, many years. And all of a sudden, nothing changes. It only gets worse. It only becomes more of an eyesore. And the ownership rightfully says, I can't go through this again. I'm going to pull the plug and I'm going to pull the blanket from underneath. And then the general manager in this case, Joe Shane, is gone and he's not running anything. So I think that's what's going to happen in New York, because what happened Monday night and what has happened a couple of times along the way, the Abdul Carter situation, the Denver loss, the even Detroit loss, whatever, where, you know, the missed field goal, the Jackson Dart situation, where it doesn't feel like, oh, just a loss, just a bad luck loss, just a great spirited effort loss, and you just came up short loss. It feels like it's a clown show. It feels like it's a rudderless ship. It feels very dysfunctional, right? And that's what I think is going to happen with Joe Shane. And I'm not saying you're defending Joe Shane or you're advocating for Joe Shane. I think people just assumed Joe Shane was going to stay because they said he was going to stay and run the coaching search. Well, that can change, is my point. And losses like Monday night can change things in a hurry. Losses like Sunday night for the Commanders don't change anything. As a matter of fact, it may solidify, it may re-solidify Dan Quinn and Adam Peters in Josh Harris's mind, and in the fan base's mind, and in the media's mind. It may re-solidify. So there's losses, and then there's losses, and there's really bad-looking losses. All right, we got to take a timeout. We'll get to the calls. Vinny in San Antonio, I see you. I get to you right away. I know what you want to talk about, but I haven't gotten there yet. We will do so. Lap in D.C. as well. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980 on the Team 980. Stay with us. All right, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Now, listen, if you call in, I might not get to you right away. Depends on what we're talking about and depends on what the mode and what the flow of the show is. Sometimes you're going to have to sit on hold and wait. Sometimes you're going to get frustrated. Sometimes you're not going to get on. So you just have to be patient. Just have to be patient. Because sometimes you guys want to do the show that you want to do as opposed to the show that I want to do or that I feel is best for the radio show. And sometimes that is very different than your vision. We all have a vision. And I'm trying to make the vision of the radio show based on 30 years of experience of how to do a good radio show. And it's a different radio show. It may not be one that you're used to, but sometimes it's not going to be just all about you. And a lot of times, unfortunately for you, it's going to be a lot about me, but not all about me. You see where I'm coming from here? Like, don't let it get mad, or don't get mad. It's just sometimes we can't do the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. The same messaging, the same points, the same gripes, the same whatever. You just got to be patient. Let's go to Vinny in San Antonio. Listening on line one, or calling in on line one, I should say. Vinny, thanks for hanging in there. How are you?
I'm all right, Chris, but I will say, if the Hall of Fame, if these quacks are holding it against Jake because the franchise was owned by Dan Snyder for 25 years, we're past that.
Yes.
Get over it. Like,
I agree.
Why won't they do right by Jake? I mean, he anchored arguably the greatest O-line ever. Explain this to me.
Yeah. I think that might actually hurt him more than helps him, if that makes sense. I don't know this, Vinny, but I think people look at the Hogs as the sum of the parts and not how great Jake was. Whether that's fair or unfair, it is unfair, right? Because they would never do that to Trent Williams. They would never do that to, I don't know, Orlando Pace or to Anthony Munoz with the Bengals, or, you know, Jonathan Ogden as part of some great offensive lines with the Ravens and so on and so forth, right? I don't think it's fair, but I think Jake gets punished for being a part of a great unit as opposed to being viewed as a great individual player. At least that's what I think has happened here. I don't know that for sure because it's not a very public process, and it's a process that quite honestly doesn't make a lot of sense.
They know the rates. They know the numbers. I don't know. The man went out there with one of his hands wrapped as a bowling ball half the time. Like, yeah. He is a legend. I grew up with him. I'm just shocked, just stunned. That's all.
But you don't think that, like, what my explanation there makes sense? Like, he's a victim of the success of the unit as opposed to a benefit of the unit? Does that make sense?
I hadn't thought of that, but I guess it's a fair argument. But my goodness, I mean, he might have been the headliner, maybe. He would argue on that unit.
Yeah. I also, there's no doubt about that. Yes, absolutely. But again, I think people know the Hogs. They don't know Joe Jacoby as well as maybe they should. And I don't know how to fix that because certainly he has got plenty of media support, plenty of fan support. I know his daughters have been battling and all of that stuff. Now, there's a very convoluted process. But one thing we should also keep in mind, like Belichick and Kraft have now advanced to, the final consideration, one for coaches and one for contributors. One thing we should keep in mind, too, and this is something that I know really affects the Baseball Hall of Fame and I think the Football Hall of Fame. They love, especially the Football Hall of Fame, when there's more than one candidate on a team or from a team or most closely associated with a team, because it means they're going to get a huge throng of fan base flooding their city and bringing in money to not only the Hall of Fame in this case, but also to Canton, Ohio and the greater Northeast Ohio area, right? If the Patriots get both Belichick and Robert Kraft in, not only do they get a ton of fans in for that, but think about it this way. It makes it easier, and again, nobody probably wants to hear this, it makes it easier to say, hey, Mike Vrabel, hey, Bob Kraft, play in the Hall of Fame game, and we'll make this weekend all about the New England Patriots dynasty and greatness. And that is, in a political sport, that is important. So
that's fair. That makes sense. Can I finish with one more quick thought?
Yep.
He played in bigger games. I get that. But if they're not going to let Jake in, they're never going to consider Gary Clark. And if you look, if you place Drew's numbers next to Gary Clark's, Gary's are just as good, if not better. And I just want to finish with that.
Wait, whose numbers compared to Gary Clark?
Drew Pearson. Gary's
Drew Pearson,
actually,
yeah. Yeah. Well,
Gary's are actually better.
Yeah. Again, I don't think it always comes down to numbers, number one. Number two, I think, you know, even though the Redskins were so popular and what have you, I think there might also be, again, a thought, like, look at how long it took Art Monk. Look, like, that the Redskins were a sum-of-the-parts type team, and the Cowboys and other dynasties were great individuals. So that's the best I can offer you, Vinny. Unfortunately, they don't tell me exactly the reason why they vote a certain way or they choose a certain way, but I've always felt that this has more to do with politics and, I don't want to say hobnobbing, but you know, glad-handing, if that's the right way to say it. I just feel like the sport is so political, and it's like, hey, how can we celebrate this? How can we best benefit from this? And I'm not saying that you wouldn't get a lot of Redskins fans to go to Canton, Ohio if Joe Jacoby was there, and especially if it was tagged with them playing in a preseason game. Obviously you would, but you got to have all of that work. Whereas if you have Kraft, if you have Belichick, and you get the Patriots there for the Hall of Fame game, That means it's just a blowout bonanza for the people at the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. And I would guess that's a big part of this. All right, 158, appreciate you, Vin. We'll get to Lap on the other side. We'll get to you on the other side. 301-230-0980. What did you think of Hard Knocks last night? Was it too little Commanders, or was it just right considering their record? Were you impressed by anything? Did you really like anything? Were you perplexed by anything? I'll give you something I was perplexed by. For those of you that have seen the episode, you'll know exactly where I'm going at, and it has something to do with geography. And where am I? That's next on the Team 980, the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. Stay with us.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.